ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. We are going to discuss the fifth canto and the first text of the first chapter of the fifth canto. And the chapter is entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. There is one verse left from the fourth canto, but that's a verse without purport. But I will read it. Etatya srinuyat rajam ragyam hari arpitatmanam ayurdanam yasha svasti katim aisvaryam apnuyat. Translation: O King, those who hear these topics about kings who are completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, obtain without difficulty a long life, wealth, good reputation, good fortune, and ultimately the opportunity to return home back to Godhead. So we get all positive things from hearing the Bhagavatam. And then there is no purport, there is only one line. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 31st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada Instructs the Prashetas. I will also say a few words at the end about my visit to India. So please repeat. Rajavacha Priyavrato Bhagavata Atmarama Katam Mune Kriye Ramataya Mula Karma Bandha Parabhava. Raja Uvacha, King Parikshit said, Priyavrata, King Priyavrata, Bhagavata, the great devotee, Atma Arama, who takes pleasure in self-realization. Katam, why? Mune, O great sage, Grihe, at home, Aramata, enjoyed, Yat Mula, having which as the root cause, Karma Bandha, the bondage of fruitive activities. Parabhava, the defeat of one's human mission. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Parikshit inquired from Sukadev Goswami, O great sage, why did King Priyavrata, who was a great self-realized devotee of the Lord, remain in household life, which is the root cause of the bondage of karma, fruitive activities, and which defeats the mission of human life. Please repeat. King Parikshit inquired from Sukadev Goswami, O great sage, why did King Priyavrata, who was a great self-realized devotee of the Lord, remain in household life, which is the root cause of the bondage of karma, fruitive activities, and which defeats the mission of human life? Purport. It's 1.5 page. In the fourth canto, so this is the fifth canto, but in the fourth canto, Sri Sukadev Goswami explains that Narada Muni perfectly instructed King Priyavrata about the mission of human life. The mission of human life is to realize oneself and then gradually to go back home, back to Godhead. Since Narada Muni instructed the king fully on this subject, why did he again enter household life, which is the main cause of material bondage? Maharaj Parikshit was greatly astonished that King Priyavrata remained in household life, especially since he was not only a self-realized soul, but also a first-class devotee of the Lord. A devotee actually has no attraction for household life. But surprisingly, King Priyavrata enjoyed household life very much. One may argue, why is it wrong to enjoy household life? The reply is that in household life, one becomes bound by the results of fruitive activities. The essence of household life is sense enjoyment, and as long as one engrosses his mind in working hard for sense enjoyment, one becomes bound by the reactions of fruitive activities. This ignorance of self-realization is the greatest defeat in human life. The human form of life is specially meant for getting out of the bondage of fruitive activities. But as long as one is forgetful in his life's mission and acts like an ordinary animal, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, he must continue his conditioned life of material existence. Such a life is called Svarupa Vismriti, which the translation means forgetfulness of one's real constitutional position. Therefore, in Vedic civilization, one is trained in the very beginning of life as a brahmachari. A brahmachari must execute austerities and refrain from sex indulgence. Therefore, if one is completely trained in the principles of brahmacharya, he generally does not enter household life. He is then called a naistika brahmachari, which indicates total celibacy. King Parikshit was thus astonished that the great King Priyavrata, although trained in the principles of Naistika Brahmacharya, entered household life. The words Bhagavata Atmarama are very significant in this verse. If one is self-satisfied, as is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called Bhagavata Atmarama. There are different types of satisfaction. Karmis are satisfied in their fruitive activities. Jnanis are satisfied to merge into the effulgence of Brahman. And devotees are satisfied to engage in the Lord's service. The Lord is self-satisfied because he is fully opulent. And one who is satisfied by serving him is called Bhagavata Atmarama. Manushyanam Sahasreshu. Out of many thousands of persons, one may endeavor for liberation. And out of many thousands of persons attempting to become liberated, one may achieve liberation from the anxieties of material existence and become self-satisfied. Even that satisfaction, however, is not the ultimate satisfaction. The jnanis and the karmis have desires, as do the yogis. But devotees have no desires. Satisfaction in the service of the Lord is called akama, freedom from desire. And this is ultimate satisfaction. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit inquired, how could one who was fully satisfied on the highest platform be satisfied with family life? The word para bhava in this verse is also significant. When one is satisfied in family life, he is doomed because he must already have forgotten his relationship with the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj describes how the activities of family life implicate one more and more. Atma patam griham andakupam. Household life is like a dark well. If one falls into this well, his spiritual death is assured. And then the closing sentence, how Priyavrata Maharaj remained a liberated Paramahamsa even within family life, is being described in the next verse. Om Gyanati Marandasya Gyananya Salakaya Shakshavun Milatam Yainatas Mai Shri Guru Vinama Amam Vishmanaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shrimate Satvarup Das Goswami Tenamine Namam Vishmanaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tenamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Tisatarine. So here King Parikshit, he is puzzled about the situation of Priyavrata. King Priyavrata is the son of Svayambhuva Manu, who is the son of Lord Brahma. And he is also King Priyavrata is the brother of King Uttanapad, who is the father of Dhruva Maharaj. So King Parikshit is puzzled about how is it that King Priyavrata choose for household life and after being trained so nicely by his spiritual master Narada Muni. Because, as described in this verse, household life defeats the mission of human life. And we know, we see around us in the world that in general, household life is taken for sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada called marriage just such as a Christian marriage as a license for sex indulgence. So sense gratification, money, wealth, going together on holidays, these are the high on the rank of most people in this world. Because it gives them an independence, it satisfies what they think is the highest enjoyment in this life, and also it's promoted everywhere. It's everybody is saying that this is the highest enjoyment in life. So people in general, they want to go for that type of highest enjoyment, and they are willing to work hard, to work like asses for such a life. And naturally, if King Parikshit hears this, then is surprised, is wondering what is happening here. How is it possible that King Priyavrata, who is such an exalted, pure personality, how is it that he goes for such a life which binds oneself and where one forgets the goal of life? That's the way how the question is asked. And and we know in Krishna consciousness, it's like a train track with two rails. One is to engage in devotional service, and the other one is to stop sense gratification. Otherwise, the train will not drive back to Godhead. These two things are there. They have to go together, and then one can progressively move in the direction of self-realization and Krishna consciousness. If these two elements are there, to engage oneself in the devotion service and parallel, simultaneously, to stop sense gratification. And Srila Prabhupada even explains that without engaging ourselves in the process of devotional service, there is even no possibility of stopping sense gratification. We are not even able to stop sense gratification if we do not engage ourselves, our senses, because our senses are always active. We cannot put them on zero. That's not a position. Sometimes with the heating system in the car or radiator, you can put it on zero. But with the senses are always active. Our mind is always active. And we cannot stop it. Therefore, the solution which is given is to engage it in the service of Krishna. And by engaging our senses in the service of Krishna, then our senses become purified, because they are pleasing to Krishna. We use it to please Krishna, and in this way we become purified. And our soul, who is in a sleepy environment, wakes up and comes to an awakened environment where we see things as they are. In a conditioned stage, we don't see things as they are. We see things as they are not. But by practicing Krishna consciousness and by engaging our mind and our senses in the service of Krishna, then the soul by itself is always pure. But if it's in an ignorant environment, then it cannot really its beauty, the beauty of the soul and the qualities of the soul don't come out. But by engaging our senses in the service of Krishna and by performing devotional service, then the qualities of the soul come out, and we can we become more awake. We see things, we realize things, our intuition is that instead of the wrong intuition, we have the right intuition. Instead of thinking the wrong thing, we think about the right thing. So due to the purification that takes place by that process. Now we see that in the case of Priyavrata, it's not that Priyavrata wanted household life. He wanted to remain actually as a brahmachari, even as a naistiki brahmachari, for lifetime brahmachari. But when he was thinking like that, then Lord Brahma, on the request of Krishna, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, came down to Priyavrata to instruct him that for this lifetime, this is not going to be your activity. This should not be your occupation for this lifetime, to be a naistiki brahmachari. Because Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Because Because according to the Varnashram, according to his karma and according to the plan of the Lord, the Lord had a different plan for Priyavrata for this lifetime. And of course his basic training while he was young was very important, and obviously that training as a brahmachari which he got in his youth was very beneficial for the rest of his life. But the Lord wanted him to take up household life, to be the king, to have wives and children, and populate the universe, and so on. So the Lord had a different, just like for like in the case of Arjuna. Arjuna had also different. He wanted to do differently, but Krishna had pointed out that he didn't want him to become a coward. He wanted him to, since he had this, since he was a Kshatriya, Krishna wanted him to act as a Kshatriya. So the same with Priyavrata, the Lord and Lord Brahma was instructed as such to guide him in that, to inspire him to take up household life. And while he then took up household life, he was not a householder like the question by King Parikshit is towards Griyamedi. It was not in the direction of Griyamedi household. Priyavrata, due to his training, due to his level of Krishna consciousness, he was not going to live a life of a Griyamedi. He had such a good training and he was on such a high level of spiritual life that he carried this throughout his entire life, although at the same time living household life and so-called enjoying that, enjoying to play with the children, enjoying to do all these activities. So in the same way, in Krishna consciousness, most of us will go through Grihastha life, and the solution is to put Krishna in the center of our Grihastha life. That is the solution for Grihastha life. Otherwise, it becomes indeed Griyamedi life. It is an important phase in most of our lives, and it is important to do it right. Otherwise, indeed, if we don't put Krishna in the center of our Grihastha life, then we can become very entangled. That's why in Belgium there are 11 million people now, more almost 11 million. And out of the 11 million, there is 1 million who takes tranquilizers. So the pharmacies are doing very well, and it's a great business. And that is because sense gratification is like putting oil on fire. I mean, the senses are there, but if you if you engage them in the service of Krishna, then you dovetail them. It's like putting sandalwood on your forehead. Then you dovetail the activities, and you use it in a useful way. If you aim for sense gratification, and sense gratification is now so strongly provided, internet is a very important provider of sense gratification, and so many other ways. The whole society is geared to that. Any magazine you take, you know, it's you know, 90% is agitating the people. So when you agitate your mind and your senses, then and you are only limited in the time and the, what you have for sense gratification and the possibilities for sense gratification. And then, of course, what is then the solution? You run out of your mind, and you cannot sleep anymore, and you are overactive. Then solution is people go to the doctor, and the doctor gives medicines. So, but the main reason for this is that people are misguided, are misled, and people think that sense gratification is great, but at the same time they become, you know, sick, and then they have to use this type of help to overcome this So in Priyavrata's case was completely different. And he used this, he never forgot Krishna while he was living this life as a king, life as a householder. So this training from our children is very important, that our children at a young age gets trained in Krishna consciousness, because whatever they get when they are young, that will last throughout their life. And even if there is a period where they forget some aspects of Krishna consciousness, then it's always more easy to come back to Krishna consciousness, because that's their basic training. And that's why also Sri Prabhupada gave a lot of importance to that. Of course, we have had our, you know, in Krishna consciousness, in ISKCON, we have had our difficulties as the first generation of Krishna consciousness. We have had our difficulties in raising nicely these children, and that has now as an effect that there are not so many gurukulis. But you know, in due course of time, when we are more mature as a movement, then naturally these things should come back, and we as parents, in between time, we can we can train our children to the best of our capacity, to give them Krishna consciousness, and then, you know, that will have a lasting effect. So I will take, before saying something about India, I will take a few questions if there, or comments if there are. So the verse, King Parikshit inquired from Sukadev Goswami, O great sage, why did King Priyavrata, who was a great self-realized devotee of the Lord, remain in household life, which is the root cause of bondage of karma, fruitive activity, and which defeats the mission of human life? So few words then. So I went to India on the 12th of or on 10th of February, and then some in Mayapur. What was the first impression was this new temple coming up. That's it's quite a big happening there, this whole between Prabhupada's hut and Garuda. So this whole distance is full of construction. You can still walk around, but there's that whole middle place where the fountain was and where the festival tent was and where the restaurant was, all this place is taken by the new project. They have a huge crane there, and many people, some with white helms, some with blue, some with orange, according to what they do. The white elements are the engineers, and the blue are those who are in charge of a group of people, and the yellow are the workers, and some other color is there. But so, and they work like 16 hours a day, and they put first of all they put like around 3,000 pillars in the ground, 20 meters deep, where they slammed the holes, and then they took out the pipe, and then there was a hole, and then they put in stainless steel and concrete. So 3,000 pillars are the basis of and then when these pillars were done, then every four pillars they put a block baton, also with a lot of steel on top of that. So then there were like 3,000 pillars, and then something like 800 blocks of baton that were interconnected, and then in between they filled it up with Ganga sand or Ganga mud, and then from there the construction started. And they, by now they are like 10-15 meters high, and they are on the level of the floor of the temple room, because the pujari rooms are underneath, and underneath is the space storage, which is like in case of flood, then it doesn't touch. It's only, or maybe there will be nothing, I don't know. In any case, it's the first level where there is nothing, or storage maybe. And then the next level is the pujari facilities, and then the next level is the temple room. So they are building the rough construction, they are building on that level. And they are working many hours a day, it's maybe 16 hours a day. And it looks very organized, very, very much Western construction site. And the structure normally, although it will take still quite some time, of course, to finish everything, but the main concrete structure from fundament to the top, that might be finished in 1.5 years or something. So, and then of course there is the finishing all the marble work inside, outside, and so many other things like doors. But it's an impressive project. It's really massive. The samadhi is really small. Before, the samadhi was a big building. Now the samadhi becomes a small building next to the temple. So then we had the GBC meetings there. For a few weeks, there were some meetings before, some meetings after the meetings itself. So it was like almost 4 weeks altogether, 3.5 to 4 weeks. And meetings itself were regular meetings. Some topics coming up from India, also some other places, but a lot from India, which GBC is looking into deeper. The question is the GBC, who is the ultimate managerial authority? Nobody is questioning that, but is the GBC the ultimate managerial and the ultimate spiritual authority? Or there are some questions who are raised in relation to that. And so the devotees will, some group of devotees, they will look into this deeper, what Srila Prabhupada exactly meant. Can see the need for having a number of issues clarified more before the first generation and direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada and those who had a lot of association of Srila Prabhupada. We can see the need to clarify a number of issues very clearly. Because otherwise that may later lead to speculation, argument, and discussions. So there need to be given some attention to some of this type of relevant points. While these devotees are still with us now, and while they are still able to, you know, remember things and discuss things in a very dynamic way. For the rest, the resolutions will come in a day of. In a week or 2 weeks maximum, I would say the resolutions will be there. Then after the meetings, I went to, usually I go to Vrindavan after the meetings, but this year I had some problem with acid reflux. That means that the acidity from the stomach goes into the system and burns or affects or infects somewhat the other organs. Or so I went to South India. I made an appointment there through another devotee because I had never been there. So I went to Udupi Udupi is the place where Udupi Krishna is there, who was found. There are different stories there with Udupi Krishna. How Madhvacharya got him. But in any case, Udupi Krishna came to Madhvacharya and then he installed him in a temple. And there is Krishna and there is also Lord Balaram is also there. They came to Madhvacharya and these are nice and dynamic, active temples. Udupi Krishna is very much visited on a daily basis and very nice atmosphere. And it has also Goshala right in the temple compound. So it's nice, you can go in the temple room and 10 steps further you're in the cow stable with some, I don't know, 60, 80, 100 cows. So it's a nice setup. And there is also pond, and there is also the Bhagavad Gita, all the verses spoken by Lord Krishna of Bhagavad Gita, nicely carved in the black marble slates. And so I followed there for 4 weeks, some Ayurvedic treatment, Panchakarma, maybe not the full, because pancha means five, and some things we didn't do. But Ayurveda has a complete different approach than the Western treatment. With Western treatment, you have a problem with your stomach, and then they give you a pill for the stomach. Ayurveda looks at your pitta, kapha, vata, or a combination or of two of the three, of all three, of, and then gives medication for and diet for to help you your general health condition, to improve your general health condition. Like in the West, usually if you have a problem, it doesn't matter, just give you a pill. It doesn't matter what you eat or what you do for the rest about it. You only take that pill and that is supposed to help. And maybe it helps in some cases. I'm not saying that. Just that the Ayurvedic approach is more holistic, in the sense that it will try to prove your general health condition, and when your health condition is improved, then it will also help to deal with that specific problem. Although it also helps also to into certain direction, of course, of certain disease has a different treatment than another disease. So I don't want to generalize it completely. But anyway, that's the general approach. So then there was massage and there was diet. Diet is the doctor told me that the three important things are your diet, your activity, and the medicines I give you. But you have to take care of all three. He says, I can give the medicines, that's only one third. Your diet is as important on the long run, and your activity is also as important. And for this particular disease, this generally comes from, it's like a manager's disease, stress. So, anyway, so that's... So I would have to do some physical activity in the form of walking or yoga. Like there we did every day from 5 to 6, we did yoga. And some things are nice. Massage is always nice because you lie on the And it's easy to undergo and pleasant to undergo most of the time. And then the steam bath after, that's a little more austere, a little too hot, with your head out of the box and the body in the box, and then sweating as much as you can tolerate. And then some things are a little more austere, like sometimes you have to drink ghee with some medicines inside. So that's a little more austere. And one day that's all I could take. Half or a third glass ghee, and that was it for the rest of the day. I couldn't take anything else. I was allowed to take more than that, but I once you get ghee in your system, it's a heavy substance. It's liquid purified butter. So with some medicines. So I have some improvement. I will have to see. There is some improvement in relation to that specific problem I had. So we'll have to see, you know, on the longer run. I took also some medicines for a period of 6 months. And I will try to follow that. And I will try to follow the diet. It's not always easy, because many times there are fried things, and fried things are not part of my diet. Neither too much sugar and things like that. So that was a few words for visit in India. Any other points or anything related to the class or in general? Thank you very much. Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Om Premanande.